Imperial Media presents The Brooke Taylor Show. Encounter, adventure, evangelize. And now your host, Brooke Taylor.
Hello and welcome to The Brooke Taylor Show. This is the last official episode of the season, and what a year it has been. I don't want to say this is going to be the last episode of the year because there may be a bonus episode to come. I actually talked to Jim, my husband, because over the last year, he has lost close to 45 pounds. He has really made some incredible changes to his life. He started a deep dive into the divine office. He now prays the liturgy of the hours every day, which has also prompted a pretty terrific change in his life. And so I thought he might actually be a good guest to bring on to share some of the ways he was able to stay motivated. And it's been tough, not pretending for one second that this year has been easy. And I know we've all been put through the ringer. And he's inspiring me because I've really been in a funk lately. And so as a wife, and I know for my kids too, it's been really neat to see. And so we're actually working on that. I want to try to get that out sometime before the new year, because mindset-wise, I think it would be really nice to kind of hear where he's at. So stay tuned for that. And also, you know, our humble little team is already working to plan next season shows. So I will be announcing some exciting updates, including a brand new sponsor of the program. With that, more episodes. So this past year, we were in pandemic production mode, which meant a scaled back version of the program because my kids were all home. There were a lot of unknowns, a lot of challenges with that. So in 2021, the show will be back to a once a week schedule and a fantastic lineup of guests. We've been working on that, and it feels good. It's exciting to have something to look forward to. I just recently had a little glimpse of that with the ladies of St. Bridget's Church near Alpharetta, Georgia. I was so blessed to speak at their Advent by Candlelight, and it was a Zoom retreat, which Zoom is no substitute for in-person at all, but it was so nice to be able to fellowship with the team, and the way it was set up was so beautiful. And I wish that I could share how they did this, because I thought our church needs to do this, and our ministry group, our Arise team needs to do this, and this would be such a great model for parishes to follow all over the country. And we need it. And the way that they got ready for this event in their own homes and lighting the Advent candles, or they were encouraged to put music on. Now, I know, depending, like if you have, like in our house, we have five kids running around all the time, and it's not so easy to kind of set an ambiance or a tone that's going to be like retreat based. But there's always a way. And I just love the encouragement of how they were inspiring their ladies. And then some of them did gather together. Some of them were alone and they had maybe a glass of wine or they had the snacks out. And it was just so fun to be able to have a glimpse, a peek into their homes, not in a weird way, but, you know, to be like a guest. So that was really special. During my talk, actually, I read an excerpt from Story of a Soul, and I really wanted to share it with you also. We have a big guest today. I want to get right into that conversation. But before we get into that, I just felt prompted to share this with you. So I'm going to read it now. And just to take you into the context of this, so in the Story of a Soul, St. Therese likens herself to a toy of the baby Jesus. She is the little ball of the baby Jesus. And if he wants to just leave her over in a corner and forget about her, she is fine with that. So you'll hear that referenced in what I'm about to read. But why I just felt so called, I think, to share it with you is because it speaks to going through a trial and also Christmas time, the time of Advent and the anticipation and yet still enduring disappointment, and then God's grace. And I just thought it was so fitting. And where she is in her life right now in the excerpt that I'm going to read is she so longs to join Carmel, to enter the convent, and she has to wait. She's not old enough yet. So it's before she goes on pilgrimage to ask the Pope, but she's so filled with sorrow at the waiting. So that's where we'll pick it up. She says, each morning brought with it a new disappointment, which nevertheless didn't shake my faith. I begged Jesus to break my bonds, and he broke them, but in a way totally different from what I had expected. The beautiful feast of Christmas arrived, and Jesus did not awaken. He left his little ball on the ground without so much as casting a glance at it. My heart was broken when going to midnight mass. I was counting so much on assisting at it behind Carmel's grills. This trial was very great for my faith, but the one whose heart watches even when he sleeps made me understand that to those whose faith is like that of a mustard seed, He grants miracles and moves mountains in order to strengthen this faith, which is still so small. But for his intimate friends, for his mother, he works no miracles before having tried their faith. Did he not allow Lazarus to die, even after Martha and Mary told him he was sick? At the wedding at Cana, when the Blessed Virgin asked Jesus to come to the help of the head of the house, didn't he answer her that his hour had not yet come? But after the trial, what a reward. The water was changed into wine. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Thus Jesus acted toward his little Therese. After having tried her a long time, he granted all the desires of her heart. I spent the afternoon of that radiant feast in tears, and I went to see the Carmelites. My surprise was indeed great when they opened the grill, and there I saw a radiant little Jesus holding a ball in his hand, and on it was written my name. Oh my goodness. So I love that in every way, from talking about the reward after the trial being tested, disappointment, and then the glory and the sweetness of Jesus. And I love how she words that, how she compares herself to this ball. Here he was holding it for her with her name on it. So I love that and wanted to share it with you. And I think it's fitting as we transition into our guest today, my friend Shibley Kando. As we get so close to Christmas, I thought it would be most fitting for us to go on a mystical field trip to Bethlehem. And that is where today's guest is located. Shibley Kando is a Christian living in the West Bank in Bethlehem, living his faith as generations before him have, and as a faith minority among Jews and Muslims, holding fast to the faith at all costs. And we're going to talk about that today. And we've all been through a lot this year. So specifically talking about 2020, seeing one of the fruits of suffering, at least I can say I'm beginning to see that, is compassion. And that when we suffer, the more disposed we are to hear and listen and really walk alongside others who are suffering as well. And the Christians in the Holy Land have been particularly chosen to carry this cross because not only through the ages of persecution, but this year too, their entire livelihood, their economy has been strangled in holy places and through COVID-19, shut down for months and basically at a standstill, the entire tourism industry there. But it also provides profound lessons. So we're going to talk about that. Part of celebrating Christmas is adoring the Word made flesh, the nativity of our Lord, born in us anew every day and around the world. And so today we really want to go and see what is Jesus teaching us there in the place that he came to save us and in Bethlehem. And our guest today, Shilby, also happens to be the grandson of the antiques dealer who first received the Dead Sea Scrolls from the Bedouins who discovered them, arguably one of the greatest archaeological discoveries of the 20th century. And it is an honor now to welcome my friend Shibley to the program. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Blessings to all our brothers and sisters.
Amen. I am so happy to see you and recall the last time that we were together was back in early March. It was just before most of the world shut down and went into quarantine. That is how many Christians make a living in the Holy Land, as I mentioned. So I know I want to start with that. Your antiques store has been impacted for months. And I guess that's the first question is, how are you doing?
Well, actually, Brooke, you were from the last groups who were in the Holy Land, you know, before things shut down. And since then, till this moment, tourism completely shut down, dropped below zero to nothing. As you know, the Christians in general, especially who are located in Jerusalem and in Bethlehem, even in Nazareth, their livelihood depends, if not 100%, 99% on tourism. Definitely, when something like this will be shut down, will be stopped, will be cut down, that will be reflect us so very negatively. And the candle store that you've been at, it's not just antique store. It has a lot of craftsmanships, you know, made by the Christian people who lives in the Holy Land, particularly in Bethlehem, which basically candle store is considered one of the biggest Christian cooperative. That's over 100 families they live from it. So basically it doesn't affect the candle family personally, but as much as it affects also the Christians who live from this place. So basically the situation, Brooke, is so very tough and so very hard and beyond that I can explain it in few words in a few minutes.
You have done such a heroic job there yourself of being a respected member of your community, and you do so much. And so as you're even sharing this, I know you're being very humble, and I know that things are dire in some corners there, and you are lifting on your strong shoulders so many families, you're carrying them, you're supporting, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I also encourage people to visit Select to Give. It's a ministry foundation that you and I both are very passionate about, and we've been promoting for the last few months. But to take us into, in the top of the show, I said we were going to go on a mystical field trip to Bethlehem, where you are now. I was thinking about 1 Peter 2:5. Scripture tells us, come to him, a living stone rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. And like living stones, let yourselves be built. And I love the metaphor because we hear it a lot in the Holy Land. You there, where you are, is the foundation, the bedrock. And we Christians are the living stones, what is left of our faith. And we grow and we preserve and we stand the test of time. But you and your family are descendant from the first Christians. And so many have left. They've left the Holy Land. They've left Bethlehem. And you stay. So as we go to this beautiful land in Shepherd's Field and the Church of the Nativity, and we see your family, why have you stayed? Why are you staying?
I always remember my grandfather had a say, you know, that he's been telling me, you know, he was very wise man. I grew up between his hands, you know, and he was more than that to me than my granddad. We are like a fish. And if the fish comes out from the water, it will die. Here, what is better place to be living beside Jesus, beside your Lord and Savior? What is better place to be staying with and helping and supporting your brothers and sisters in the spot in the world? We are, as you said, we are the descendants of the Christian, for Christianity. And if we go back to my descendant, where I, especially when they kind of come to the U.S. and they ask me, since when you're Christian, we never get used in such a question like this. We are Christians since the first century. We are the first who followed Christ and who've been persecuted through the history till we were able to protect and save our faith till this moment. We are the living stones, but we live through him because he is the major living stone. And if we want to consider yourself a real living stone who born here, you have to do the impossible to stay. I don't blame anybody who left. I'm not saying that I am better than anyone, okay? Everybody who left, they have reasons. And they have strong reasons, because trust me that whoever left and I met, they are crying with tears of blood, okay, that they wish they will be able to come back over here. And but it's so very hard for them to do it. So the reason why I won't leave here, because if I will leave here and everybody will leave here, what our churches will be? Museums. We want the stone to be always alive. We want to keep practicing our faith in our churches. We want to go every morning to the Church of Nativity, Church of the Holy Sepulchre, to attend the services, the masses over there. Okay. We want to make our churches be alive, stay alive. And the churches won't be alive without the living stones, because in the end, without the living stones, they will be just stones. And this is the last thing we want to be our churches to be, as museums. Because after that, in the end, there won't be any holy sites. You will be entering those holy sites as you're visiting any other museum all over the world. And we want this to be happening.
Your voice and your story travels across the mountains and the waters in the continents to reach us where we are and to teach us, because here in the United States, we have entered a dark time. There's so much going on and it's hard to keep up. A lot of people are grieving. A lot of people are concerned and shaken in their faith. And you have lived through persecution, not only persecution of your faith and being a minority in where you are, but economic persecution. You and I were talking about that. And recently I saw a quote, it was from an Orthodox priest, and he was talking about the state of our country here in the United States. And he said that Christians in the West are cowards. And that is a really tough thing to hear. And it cuts deep. But I think there is a truth to what he says. And we could debate all day long about why that is. is. Cardinal Seurat talks about some Christians, you know, kind of being in a comatose. But the question is now, how do we find our courage? And so I think, again, that's something that you can teach us. What are some of the things that help you remain steadfast, all that you've endured?
My strong faith, Brooke. My faith in God, my faith in Jesus, what Jesus told us, you know. This is something being built. Christianity for us over here, it's not a matter of choice. We don't choose. The kids over here, when they're born, after when they're 6, 7 months, he will be baptized, christening. And when we're christened, this seed will grow inside our heart. The seed of Christianity, the seed of Jesus' faith, what he put in us. And this seed, it will grow up bigger and bigger and bigger. However, the house that you're living in is a really Christian house, who know the word of God. And of course, through our culture and traditions, which is each country is different in their cultures and traditions. But over here for us, holidays, it's not about partying. It's not about enjoying the time as much as it is about the spiritual meaning behind it. Yes, we do celebrate Christmas. We love Christmas. There is processions. There are different kind of activities. But the major part of it is when every year, as every day, we should make Jesus born in our hearts, born in our souls, born in our minds, before it will be celebrating. He doesn't need these kind of parties and celebration as much as he needs us to make him born again inside our hearts and our souls every day in our life, and not just one day through the year.
You're fortunate to have grown up in a place where the birth of salvation took place. And in your culture too, men play a very active role in their faith. You go to the Western Wall, the side with the men is a lot larger. And particularly in the Catholic faith, the men are strong and bold. And what advice can you give to men in the West who were never really plugged into their faith and are feeling a little lost right now?
Let me just say this before I will give the advice. And actually my words, it comes from Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. What I mean behind it, we are the guards. In our culture, the men are the guards for their family, are the guards for their faith, are the guards for their kids, for wives, for everybody. And the men over here is the foundation of the house. So if this foundation will be shaken a little bit, how the house will be? Any kind of storm, any kind of wind, any kind of rainy weather, it will knock it down. So basically, the men over here is the foundation of the house. And their first should be planting, as I said, the seed of the faith in their heart and grow it up between themselves so they can reflect it to their family, reflect it to their kids especially. Okay? The advice that I will give it to them, which they can give it to their kids too, because our hope for the future are the kids, our children. It's not just us, okay? For how long we're going to live, this is in God's hand, but they are the people who are coming to continue. And they should continue with our strong faith as it is right now. The first thing, never ever doubt God's will. Never ever question what is happening with you in your life. Whatever God sends you, just accept it. Because a lot of times we receive things, we don't like it. It doesn't match our lives. We don't want it. But there is a meaning behind it, and there is a reason behind it why God gave it to you. So don't doubt. Don't question. Just accept and always thank the Lord and thank God for whatever he's giving you. Because God, he will never give you something to hurt you with, but he wants to give you a message behind whatever he's giving you.
Shibley, I don't mean to interrupt, but such a powerful image came to my mind when you said that. It was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and receiving the chalice, you know, where he said to the Father, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your be done, yours be done. And we all have that moment. And we are called like our Lord, our shepherd, to drink from the chalice. And I think, like you said, we live in a time where we control so much. And so, like what we've seen this year, we feel really shaken when we realize things aren't in our control as much as we thought. But there is an opportunity to humble us. And when we're humbled, then we can be filled with our Lord.
Amen. Amen. And that is the main thing that every man, he should understand it, that he is the foundation of his family. He is the one who, he's the rock behind for his children and their wives and their families in general. So he should be always strong, strong in the faith, strong in the word of God. Accept, don't argue, don't question. Anything happened to you, there is nothing more beautiful than saying thanks be to God. These words can relax and can comfort the whole world around you. And however you thank, he will give you. He will provide for you. And God always provides. And depend on him, never depend on a human. The second thing, whenever you feel any kind of weakness, go back to your constitution, which is the Bible, to read the word of God, to read the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to keep those words. Read them with your heart and with your soul before your eyes and your mind. This will give you the biggest encourage to be standing and challenging every kind of challenges that you might face in your life. And however you trust in him more, he will be backing you up better and better, stronger and stronger.
Powerful. Thank you. I know we can't be there with you and venerating at the Church of the Nativity this year for Christmas, but could you tell us a little bit about Bethlehem and the birth of Christ and the church behind it? The first time that I went, I was so taken in by the drama of history and all the different faith traditions that have claimed a stake of that ground. And then descending down, people were kind of pushing, and we were all trying to get to that place where Jesus was born, tradition tells us, and to pray and to try to somehow comprehend what was happening. And then I thought, how do we know this is the place? Now, since then, of course, with our wonderful guides and with historic and archaeological and the history and tradition that goes back, you can kind of look and debate, but you have grown up there all your life. And so take us there now. How do we know that's the place?
Whatever I was saying, Brooke, that accept and don't argue. Accept, and you just said it, you know, through the historical and the archaeological kind of excavations and digs, they can find out and locate things and where it is. Between St. Helena and the time of Jesus, there wasn't that thousands of years. Yes, there was about 300 years, 350 years, which it's not that long. And usually over here, in general, in the Middle East, you know, to find out something, it never be documented. Mostly it's by mouth, by word, right, from generation to generation, from people to people. This is the way how she found the birthplace. And this is the way how she found the cross, which it is in the Calvary, in the Golgotha, where it is right now. So basically, and also the miracles that have been happening in those churches, what is better proof? Here, God is showing you. The best miracles, you know, is showing you the proof, you know, by something that no human or any nature in the world can make it. And this is what happened, you know, inside the Church of Nativity. The Church of Nativity is considered the older church in the world, as this is the only one which hasn't been conquered down when through the Samaritan invasion. Okay. And also it happened through it also different other miracles, by the appearance of the Mother of God in that church several times, and several, if I will count them for you, it's hundreds of miracles. As I said, from word to word, and then till she find out St. Helena, the birthplace, and she built the first church. And of course, with history, how it's been changes. Whatever you just said about when you were there and how the situation is a little bit uncomfortable, which unfortunately this situation is being created by our churches who are taking place in controlling or as they say, claim taking care of the place, taking care.
Which goes all the way back. You know, it's kind of like the generational family issues, the dysfunction. It goes all the way back. We continue to pray for unity. Now, we only have about 3 minutes left. And I want to ask as we conclude, where is your very favorite place, the place that you love in Bethlehem or in the Holy Land that's closest to you?
Well, every place in the Holy Land means everything to me. Every inch of the Holy Land, I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. But always there will be like small places that not everybody knows about it. And one of the favorite places for me is actually across the street from my house. And that's not the reason. It's Saint Charbel of Lebanon Church, which over there is there we have the relics. And you know Saint Charbel, he's the miraculous saint. And over there and in this church, you know, when I go there, I find peace and I find love and I feel the presence of Jesus Christ among Saint Charbel in this place. So basically, this is one of my favorite places, you know, in the Holy Land to be spending time in, including, you know, as I said, every spot in the Holy Land, it means something. And it means something very great to us. Other part, you know, that I love spending it, you know, is being with the Christians over here, try to help them as much as we can, because I am also the administrator of Select to Give Foundation in the Holy Land, which this foundation, you know about it, Brooke, and you're going to be one of the hosts for the fundraising event. Since it started, you know, we're trying to, as much as we can, to help our brothers and sisters over here. And hopefully we will be able to reach as far as we can over here, at least to give them hope, to give them some kind of strong faith, not to take, to wipe out from their minds the idea of leaving or finding any other better place to be living in and leaving their homes over here.
Having been there a few times now, three times so far, and we have two more trips planned, I can say of all the places I've traveled, it is the place that calls me back the most, that I think about the most, that I can't wait to take people. And also in all cultures, I think so many different cultures have a gift of hospitality, but you and your store and your people, the Christians that we were able to meet, it really is special. And I know that not just financially, it must be difficult for you to be cut off from the hospitality and the tourism and the travel, but emotionally, because we are connected. And so this is a way through the gifts and Select to Give and the support that we can say that we are thinking of you, that we're praying for you, and that we are coming alongside as Christians to support one another. And I guess I just want to end on that note. Is there any, what's the best way that we can do that, Shibley?
The best way, first of all, praying for us. Okay, keep us in our prayer, in your prayers, to asking all our brothers as much as we do, keep all our brothers and sisters, especially in the U.S., in every, all over the year, and especially in this time of our lives, we keep them in our. A second thing we can do is through Select, going to a legitimate foundation like Select to Give Foundation, which whoever want to know more about Select to Give, they can go through the website selecttogive.org or through yourself, Brooke, which this foundation, every kind of project, every kind of donation, it goes straightforward directly to the Christians over here without cutting 1% as administration fees like any other foundations. So basically, this is one of the good things, you know, or if our brothers and sisters would love to be helping their brothers and sisters over here in the Holy Land.
As we approach Christmas, I think it's a beautiful opportunity to give a gift that, like you said, Jesus doesn't need another party, or we don't need, you know, expensive shopping items, but this truly, truly is what we are called as brothers and sisters in Christ to do for one another. And with that,
and sorry to interrupt, you know, it's enough just to draw the smile on the face of those children, young children, to draw the smile on the faces of the, excuse me, I'm getting emotional a little bit, to draw the smile on the faces of those families who are really in need, and they try to keep their spirit so high and to keep their faith so high and so strong while they're in the most and biggest need, you know, in their lives. And this kind of smile that they can draw within their faces, it means the world to them. And this definitely the baby Jesus, who's going to be celebrating his birthday. He will see it and he will grant them and he will bless them for doing such a great thing like this.
Amen. Amen. So beautifully said and lived. You live it. And we will get the word out and continue to pray and just encourage others to go to Select to Give. And we didn't get a chance to talk about Shepherd's Field or the Milk Grotto or the Dead Sea Scrolls, which just means, I guess, we'll have to have you back again. So,
and also, next time you will be here, definitely, we're going to bring the group to Saint-Charbel so they can celebrate Mass in Saint-Charbel Church over here. Also,
that is a deal. That is a deal. God bless you. We will be in prayer, in solidarity with you, and hope to see you very soon. We're going to be back in the Holy Land next year, God willing.
We are in solidarity for each other, and please, we're telling all our brothers and sisters over there that we keep them in our prayers, and we ask them to stay safe, stay healthy, so we will be able to see each other's one more time in the streets of the Holy Land, the streets of Bethlehem. God bless you all, our brothers and sisters, and Merry Christmas in advance to all of you.
Merry Christmas. Amen.
Thank you again to Shibley Kando. I hope if you haven't joined us on pilgrimage yet that you might consider, maybe you'll get a chance to meet him yourself when we go next year. We leave, by the way, October 28th through November 7th, just praying that travel can be open to all, that the hospitality and tour industry will come back, and especially for our friends there in the Holy Land. In the meantime, I'm also going to link up the information for Select to Give. And earlier in the year, when we went to the orphanage, that also is an example of how Select to Give gives back. So that will be in the show notes. Also, early in 2021, I'll just give you a quick preview. One of my guests is going to be the founder of Select International. That's the tour company that I work with for all of our trips. But she's going to give us a look at the landscape of traveling in general for 2021. If you have any trips planned, if you miss traveling, there's been talk of a possible mandatory COVID vaccination in order to be able to travel to some place. Some countries, even on some airlines. Is that true? What's happening? If you're wondering what the landscape is going to be like in terms of international or even domestic flights and travel, this is her specialty. So she's going to be one of our early guests in 2021 to kind of give us the scoop about that. So thank you for supporting the program another season only by God's grace. Thanks to your support. Thank you for sharing the podcast with others. Thank you for being there. I wish you many Advent and Christmas graces, safety, and health for your family. And please don't be a stranger. You know, in the meantime, I will be on social media, and there's also a newsletter, trying to do better at periodically sending those out, but I'll put that in the show notes also. If you're not already signed up to receive updates through the newsletter, you can do that through the show notes. Merry Christmas, friends. Until next time, peace and love.